Good morning and welcome to the Project Jar radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, I'm sorry, my earpiece wasn't operating. I'm here.
I can hear
can
you,
hear
loud
me?
And clear.
Okay, stop yelling.
Well, we had a couple of assignments for the weekend. So our Friday assignment was, when I was young, I used to admire intelligent people. As I grow older, I admire kind people. Mm. We're living in a great projection workshop and often don't realize it. If we're not paying close attention, we go about our day believing what we see, feel, and think is the result of an accurate assessment of life. What we admire, like, want, pursue, value, is the thing to admire, like, want, pursue, and value. Often that's one set of things when we're 20, a different set when we're 40, and another set when we hit 60. Yet even with these changes, we can be fooled into not questioning the process. Today, consider how what you admire, like, want, pursue, and value has changed as you've practiced awareness. And then on Saturday, no one has ever become poor by giving. In practice, we often hear, the more you give, the more you get. Religious types talk about giving everything you have to the poor and how it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. The Buddha put greed as the first of the three poisons, ahead of hate and delusion. From this, a person could conclude there's something inherently bad about having. It sounds as if good people should be poor, but what if we're not talking about the material world? What if what's being pointed at is a deprivation attitude of mind that can keep a person from receiving the riches life bestows? Today, give yourself the gift of exploring some of the beliefs and assumptions that could be keeping you poor, even as you have plenty of everything you need. Record and listen. Do all the good, this is June 11th, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Well, for goodness sake, if a person took that advice, they would be required to be in goodness all the time. There wouldn't be time or space for anything else. Perhaps that's the point. Today, give full attention and appreciation to every bit of good you encounter.
Mm.
All
wow.
right.
Big
wow.
weekend.
Big weekend. There's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Bev from Kentucky.
Hi,
well,
Bev.
Hello there. I'm happy to be here. So the thing that struck me was in yesterday's reading about being good. When I first read that, all I thought just immediately was, oh, no, I have to do more stuff. And it just had to be good. And it just dropped in immediately. It's like, well, that's just a lie, and I didn't realize how much, at that moment I realized how much I have been conditioned to think that good depends on what I do. And
uh-huh.
I know it's not, but uh-huh. that became very clear to me. So I sat there and I thought, okay, I know this is a lie. I know that, you know, I'm falling for this. And all of a sudden, I thought of the word kind. I thought, well, if I put kind in each of those spots where good is, it was like, oh, I get that kind is just the state of being. And so I know it just really showed me I've got to work hard on practicing accepting that they're the same thing. So, but initially,
well,
it was just like, no, I've got more work to do. But I know that's a lie. So it was just a good way to see that. Yeah.
That's the part I want to underline before you think that you need to do a lot of work in any direction, okay?
Right.
Because what you just described is the deal, right? So you read something and conditioned mind just leaps on it. Ego just, oh, well, that means, okay, well, now you've got it. right? And in a very, very short period of time, because you were present, it dropped in and you saw that's a lie. Now, we could just end the story right there. Okay? Because, of course, what's going to happen after that is go along, go along, go along. So you've just had insight after awareness, after clarity, after insight, right? All along that path. But what ego wants to end up with is, well, now you've got to do a lot of work. No, you don't.
I saw that very clearly, and I feel like that was really something to celebrate, that just immediately I'm like, oh, no, no, that's not true.
Right, and you weren't working hard when you saw that.
No, no.
Right, and you were just there.
And what it showed me is it's really good that you approach that we get the same message from so many directions and so many different wordings, because those two words, kindness and goodness, are the same, but conditioning
yes.
was convinced
yes.
me that they weren't. And so,
that's
you
right.
know, that is something that I'll be aware of as I move forward. So I just
that's
felt really good about that I saw that so quickly.
Oh, it's the whole deal. Because in each of the steps of that that you described to us, what happened is you're here, you see it. You're here, you see it. You're here, you see it. Right? You didn't need to fix anything, do anything, change anything. You didn't need to anything. You were just here, and you were watching. There's ego coming in with the lie. There's the awareness. There's ego coming in with the lie. Here's awareness. Ego comes in with the lie. Here's awareness. And you can just be more and more relaxed, trusting that you don't have to fix or change or do anything. As long as you're present, everything is going to be given to you.
Well, that made me very happy. So, and before
it should.
The first time I called, I had taken a step to do this project, the year-long thing, and I'm stepping up my game. Well, the next time I started, I got a coach, and I started committed to doing the daily recording and listening as the assignments are asking us to. And then this time I've started virtual meditation. I've signed up for reflective listening, and I'm very seriously trying to work towards going to a retreat. So I can't tell you how much that has helped, especially number one, the daily recording and listening. That has brought me further in a short amount of time. And I've been doing, you know, I've been with you for years, and I've grown, but I've grown very quickly by doing that recording and listening. And at first it was like, but it's really, and now I look forward to it. It's like an old friend. I've made that my go-to person. So it's been really great. So
there you go.
Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. For anybody who's listening, we didn't pay you a dime to say all this, did we?
No, you didn't. And I feel the quality of my life, as you say, the quality of your life depends on the focus of your attention. And I've been focusing a lot on practice, so the quality of my life is much more peaceful and present. And it's just been a great gift. And I'm so thankful. For everyone out there that helps me understand I'm not on my own, that everybody else is struggling with the same things I am. So
being successful yes. in the same joyful, exciting ways, huh?
Yes, it is. So thank you, and you all
thank
have a
you.
Wonderful day. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well,
thanks,
Ben.
Yeah,
I will tell you, my day is going to be even better as a result of that conversation. I will tell you that I was listening to a recording this morning where I was talking, because as you who know me well know, I can natter on. And as much as I inflict that on other people, there's even more that I share with the recorder. And I was talking about how I wish everybody, as was just stated, had that go-to person, that old friend who, it doesn't matter, day, night, whatever is going on, just wants to be with you and talk about whatever you want to talk about and reflect you and clarify and all of those kinds of things. It's just the best. So it was so fun to hear that.
It truly was. And, you know, if we summarize that as practice works, it would absolutely not capture the energy, enthusiasm, all of what the sense of being so inspired by the practice of a person who discovers that for themselves and is just so totally lit up by it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And takes us all there, which is the magic of getting together like this, right? Because if you go there, I go there, I project just about everybody listening goes to that same place. And it's just...
It's such a gift.
Very fun. It's such a gift. So fun.
Well, and it's the gift that Bev was pointing to of goodness, right? That's the place where we go to. It lights us up in that appreciation of the sincerity and depth and willingness and all of those things that we celebrate about life and the willing practitioner. So, it's just lovely.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another one of those wonderful practitioners. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, hey, Andrea.
Hi, I just wanted to share something. I guess I could call it being kind to myself, which was I was taking a trip to Washington, D.C. with a bunch of 11-year-olds and parents that I didn't know. And that was definitely out of ego's comfort zone. And so what I decided to do was I brought the Bamboozle book. And during the bus ride, I could feel myself becoming identified. So I flipped through the Bamboozles to try to figure out which one it was. And it turned out to be the Separation Bamboozle. And I read the chapter about it while I was experiencing it on the bus and all the sensations, and it was really helpful.
Uh-huh. So that, wow, what a powerful practice. So you recognize you're identified or getting identified. You pick up the book to find the one that you're experiencing. And as you do that, you're able to watch the identification as it's described to have greater clarity about it, and I'm betting to disidentify from it.
Yeah, it was really helpful. And the interesting thing is, you know, usually I'm talking about this, you know, after it happens, but I was able to actually be there enough to notice that there wasn't a huge amount of language. It was more feelings that usually gets translated into language.
Yes. Well, or even feelings, in quote, that get translated into action. Right? So so we don't even need to know what's going on. Right? So by the time I'm hearing any language, I'm on the outside. I don't really fit in. I don't know these people. They probably don't like me. I'm pretty sure I don't like them. This is a drag. Why did I ever agree to this? Why did I have a child in the first place? You know, wherever it goes. And But that is so powerful. The power of being present to an identification, watching it do what it does as a way of disidentifying.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that.
No fear, right? No fear.
No fear. It was interesting because, you know, there was a lot of, you know, there was definitely fear and resistance to going on this trip from ego, but it was really helpful. And and the Bamboozle book is just so, you know, it's basically something I should just take with me everywhere I go and flip through it.
Yes, yes, just check in. It, you know, it's like what universe are you creating? You know, people use those cards in that way just as a, oh, I think I'll check in here. And the Bamboozle book the same way. You know, well, which of these seems to be operating in my life right now? I don't even have to know that I'm identified with ego, right? Yeah. Just the, you know, again, I check in, am I happy? Am I grateful? Am I really enjoying my life? No? Okay. Let's start flipping through that book.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. That is so good, Andrea. Thank you. That is. That's great.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrea. Yeah, that is the most powerful place in practice, right, Sherry, that we practiced enough to become aware that we're exiting awareness, but because the attention is wavering towards conditioned mind and there's that leak of energy. And so we grab the tools that assist us to remain in awareness and sort of move away from the fire of identification to just being able to watch it from an expanded awareness place and not go with it.
That's right. Yes. And we've been talking about this for anybody who's a monthly donor. I think those folks get the Thursday night groups, and we've been at the monastery. We've been talking about that a lot at the monastery, that being in the place of awareness, seeing the pull toward conditioning, seeing what our heart wants, and what a powerful place in practice that is. Sometimes we slide over into ego, it's true, and we get to watch how that happens, but very often we recognize ourselves in that place and we choose our hearts, and which is what Andrea just described. And of course, I was kidding her about no fear because she was just with us on the Transcending Fear retreat, right? And that's a huge step because that's how ego gets us not to pick up those cards or not to open that book or not to bring that book with me, right? Is that it brings up a fear that is controlling my behavior. And when we when we're no longer afraid, everything gets big and bright.
Yes, when we're no longer afraid. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Hi. Oh, it was such an unexpected pause. You may now ask a question.
Oh. You are muted. Oh, dear.
Yes. Yes, I'm with those people who are practicing to be in a queue every time. And, and yesterday salmon just flew out of my head. And I would like to share the experience I had while practicing. It is... being in a place of present is in a light room, but that light room is kind of 1 second big. So if I start wandering around for kind of more than 1 second, then somehow I turn the corner from that room into like a corridor and start walking the corridor. I always end up in a dark room.
So I just want to underline what you're saying, Pasha, because it's so important. One of the ways that ego gets us is, oh, I'm in the light room. Well, of course, as soon as I say that, I'm on the threshold, right? I'm headed toward that corridor. So to realize that the Lightroom experience is, as you said, it's 1 second long, right? So the lights are on. I need to stay here where the lights are on, not think about it, not decide what I'm going to do with it, not have a great awareness of the awareness, just stay. Yeah.
Yes. and not going with the pool of anything, because that anything that you know, it will come here. It will come to the light room. I don't need to make an effort and go through the corridors and find it. I can just be here, and while I'm here, I'm breathing, and it feels like the whole room is breathing, and it's a very comfortable place in a sense of reassuring. There is no. I mean, that's all I need to do.
Yes, yes. So, and of course, conditioning will offer things like, but there are so many people who are suffering, or, but there's so much that's painful in the world. But there's, what you should do is, oh, I know what you could do is, and all we're required to, in quotes, do in the light room is keep the door open. Because as you say, anything that's suffering is welcome to come into the light room. And you're going to be right there to breathe with them, right? But as soon as you leave the light room to go get them, everybody's doomed.
Yes. And what this reminds me is about why is it I practice? I practice because I can. The person who is practicing is able to do that. And I often find people suffering in situations where it's very hard for them to practice. It's not something I can go jump and fix them. I need to be staying here where I can practice. And invigorates my practice because I can, and I want to practice for, it's like, it's not only for Pasha, it's for everybody, because right now, right here, I can do that, and that's, maybe that's all I can do until I see, you know, what help is needed and how I can provide it. But until then...
Yes. And maybe there's no help needed, right? Perhaps what is required is for us to simply be in that light room, offering that possibility, right? Because if there's nobody in the light room, there's no possibility. Right. If the Buddha had not done what the Buddha did, there would have been no information available to us now. Now there might have been other Buddhas. I can't say that, but you know what I mean. So the idea that we need to leave center in order to go help somebody, oh my gosh, it is just the worst possible choice that we can make. Yeah, and of course, ego wants to paint it as completely selfish. Okay, all these people are suffering, and you're smiling there in the light room. Yes, yes, and I am smiling in the light room for all beings, because somebody needs to be at home keeping the lights on.
Yes, yes, somebody needs to be here when they come to be available, to be present.
That's right.
And with that, came kind of second part of faith. You know, there is a building faith of this is walking, and this is how it works, and this my experience, and this is growing and became stronger, and that's what my experience of faith. I cannot predict, you know, when is this happened. But I have a faith in it, and that almost brings tears to my eyes.
Yes, and you know it's available to everyone. Mm. Anybody who wants it can walk the same, can take the same steps. And that's our growing faith in the adequacy of all beings. In a non-separate reality, we realize there is no one who is unequal to their lives. So we wrap them up in unconditional love and have absolute faith that when they are ready, when they choose it, they are absolutely capable of walking toward that light room. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it.
Gasho.
Gasho, Pasha.
Thanks, Pasha. Wow. Wow. I'm just going to say wow and bring one more caller on for the show.
All right. I'm sorry, but sometimes wow is all we're left with. Right? We just get to that place and wow kind of says it all.
Yeah, take the page out of Mahakashyapa and just receive the flower and smile.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Menlo Park.
Well, hello,
hey,
Anna.
Hi. Wow, how exciting. I was listening to one of the radio shows. I missed the radio show last week, and I was listening to it this weekend, and it was one where you were talking about putting yourself in the queue, and I was like, you know, I sometimes do it, but sometimes I think I was very inspired by one caller who had, you know, talked about, you know, getting on the queue in a coffee shop, and I was like, you know, I can, maybe that was open air, but I was like, I was thinking, you know, maybe I get bamboozled about when I can or cannot put myself in the queue.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been looking at that.
That's great.
And
Go ahead.
That was it. Yeah, that was it.
Well, I was talking with somebody in another venue about, so people have this idea. So I have this practice commitment, but I have company, so I can't keep it. Or I need to make an appointment, so I can't keep it. And it takes us right back, which is just a wide open invitation to ego to make sure that everything happens at the same time as that commitment, so that I'm going to choose what I need to be doing instead of that commitment. And I said to these folks, you know, if you have a house full of company and you have a practice commitment, then what you say to them is, okay, you know, entertain one another. Because I have a practice commitment, or I need to be on this call because this is where I get my support, or whatever it is. And that gives a statement to people that what conditioning is doing is going to take second place to my awareness practice. Because if we turn it around the other way, then we're giving a clear message that society's demands are actually more important than practicing awareness. And I think that's not really a message we want for ourselves or for anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the way you put that. I just can't add anything to it. It's so, I think before you said something, we talked about something about having practice fitting into our lives or like our lives being practice, something like that. And it seems like it's pointing to that, like, and it feels really good when I'm living in line with my values, which kind of goes back to the assignment, I think, for Friday of, you know, the things I admire and that sort of thing, and how that's changed over time, and how when I'm living in line with my values, it feels awesome. And that was sort of one of the things that was coming up for me when I was doing my recording about right now, of just like, you know, like admiring wholesomeness and aspiring to wholesomeness and you know, that seeing it as a projection and all of that, but also just, I that's my intention, is to live a wholesome.
Yeah. Yes. My teacher used to say, be who you say you are. Be, you know, we all have a self-image, you know, so be that. You know, I'm a really good person. Well, I can't be under these circumstances, and I was too busy there, and I had company. But I'm a really good person. No, just be, you know, I'm a kind person, except when somebody gets on my nerves or when I'm in a situation, you know. Well, let's strive to be what we know to be the best person we can be all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's inspiring, and I feel really thankful to have the support to, you know, look at that and not turn it over to ego and not, you know, for what the definition of these things are, and to just see it all as a practice opportunity, and then to just, you know, endeavor to live, to practice as, you know, see my life as practice.
Yeah. Yes, and if
experience
my life as practice, if we don't let ego take it and we don't let self-hate take it, then it just becomes, you know, I'm learning to swim and I'm not that good at it. So where do I need to bring attention in order to be more adept at this? And that's the same thing with practice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've had this experience recently. My Amos is he's had a couple of, like, you know, he's learning to run now, and he runs and then he just, like, face plants, you know, and cement gets, you know, hurt, and there's this like tendency to be like, oh no, we can't let him, got to keep him safe, and that's not what he wants, and that's not what I want for him, and it's so glorious to practice just kind of allowing him to learn and to see what goes on for me when, you know,
learn right along with him, right, Mom?
Yeah. I just think him as sort of like, okay, this is how naturally one would learn, you know. Not with fear, you'd fall down, it hurts, you cry, and then you try again. And maybe you fall down again, you hurt, you cry, but then, you know, day by day, you learn.
Yes, you learn, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's such a great point, Anna. If there's nothing wrong with crying, there really is the problem. If crying is just a natural response to fall to a face plant, it doesn't translate into, so you shouldn't do that again.
Isn't it? For me, a reaction. Yeah, it's been pretty profound.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that.
That's
so good. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. It is so good to, I mean, as practitioners, to recognize how, you know, processes are so discrete. Unconditional love has nothing to do with, is one process. Emotional reactions are one process, and they have nothing to do with the action that caused that, supposedly caused that emotional reaction. And to get that life is just a set of independent processes is awakening.
And there's nothing wrong with any of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong is also a process, right? I mean, it's just one of the processes that you could choose not to attend to.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, that brings us way past our time for this show.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So,
all right. Sorry.
Let's look at the assignment.
Okay.
One who wishes to secure the good of others has already secured one's own. This is one of those lovely Zen paradoxes that a dualistically conditioned mind cannot wrap around. How can wanting for you what I want for me get me what I want for me? Magic. The magic is, it's not what, it's how. How we are, not what we get, gives us what we want. In endeavoring to secure the good of others, we're securing good for ourselves, because with our attention on the good we desire for others, we have the good for ourselves. Today, let yourself recognize and receive the good you wish for others. Record and listen.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, we can't have a radio show if we are speechless, but regardless. Go happy, everybody. We'll do our best.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Take care.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.